Welcome to the Pixels and Dice podcast, a show by gamers for gamers. We cover everything from Mario to Munchkin, role playing to retro games, and everything in between. Now, without further ado, let's get on with the show.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I'm Skarmus.
And I'm Beowulf.
And today, we're going to talk some more about role playing games. Because, well, we don't actually play any role-playing games right now. Well, we try to, but...
Yeah, but we want to foster the community.
Right. We've been doing this a long time. Since the late 70s.
Yes.
Nearly 40 years of role-playing.
So, you could say we've got some experience.
We've been there. We've done that. And so now, since, well, you know, it's not like role-playing's dying or anything.
I certainly hope not.
But it's certainly not as big as it once was. So, if you've ever had any interest in getting into tabletop role-playing, BLS thought that now would be a good time for us to give some tips. Not just for people that are interested in getting into the hobby, but also for people that have been in the hobby for a bit and are thinking of making the jump to being game masters themselves.
Because both of them come with their own unique challenges.
Oh, sure.
I mean, say you've never had a role-playing game session in your life, but you've heard other people talk about it and you thought it was something you might want to try. First off, a lot of the players you're going to run into suck.
Oh, total.
Not just bad players. They're bad people.
Chodes.
Don't be discouraged by the players you run across. Eventually, you're going to find players that fit your personality, that get you, that take you for who you are, whether you're a good role player or not. They're willing to run with you.
Mm-hmm.
Hold fast to those players. Don't just discard them because they're hard to find.
Yeah.
And a lot of the first experience people get is they'll go to their local gaming store, which I highly support doing this, and jumping in feet first. Generally, you'll have, you know, somebody who works there or is a regular there, their job is to take the new players and help develop them. By all means, take every opportunity you can to learn. Yeah, you're going to make mistakes. But this guy, his whole job is not to judge you, but to just help you enjoy the game. That way, when you do start playing with others, you're not going to be as leery or intimidated. Because I can tell you right now, in a lot of cases, you're going to be role-playing to the best of your ability. Somebody's going to come in and you're basically, what you're putting out is basically a street show compared to a theatrical production that this guy puts on.
Yeah.
Don't let it get you down. You do the best you can and let him do his thing. One of my favorite things to do, because we've had players who were epic.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the best things you can do to an epic player is knock him down a few notches. I had a halfling rogue whose favorite thing in the world to do was get in their face and make them look silly. He would basically humiliate them. In game, of course. And eventually, this haughty, arrogant player chilled the fuck out. And we had a lot of fun after that. Yeah. There was a lot of death threats and attempted murders. But
In game!
We still had lots of fun.
We have to stress that. In game!
Well, obviously, in game.
Anyway, if I had to give a suggestion to somebody that's interested in getting into role-playing, again, your brick-and-mortar gaming store, if you've got one near you, that is, of course, your best starting option. But, because you usually they're going to have tables set up, they're going to have people that come around. Ask around, see when they have a regular gaming session, not just their free-for-all, hey, anybody can join to play, you know, try out Game X, but find out when they have a regular group coming. Talk to the game master for that group, if at all possible, and find out if you can just sit in. Not at the table, not actually taking up one of their spaces and joining in, to watch. To sit there and just watch the interactions, to see how people are play against each other, to help learn the rules in advance. You know, seeing what dice they roll, things like that. Take notes if need be. And just to kind of get a feel for what not just a regular group works like, but a functional, long-lasting group works like. Because, yeah, sure, you can go and go there on any Tuesday for the most part and join in on some random game that some random guy is running, and you're going to get, well, whatever. You don't know what you're going to get. You don't know the people. The last time I did that, it ended up with one half of the group throwing grenades at the other half of the group in the middle of a bar, and everybody died. We all got up and left. The game lasted about half an hour. The dude running the game turned out to be a really good friend later on in life, but damn, he had no clue what he was doing, and everybody killed each other. You remember that game?
Oh, yeah.
That was a...
Traveler.
No. It was a post-apocalyptic war game.
I'm drawing a blank on the name now.
Yeah, I don't remember either. That's how memorable the damn game was. All I remember was he took the group, said, you're on Team A, you're on Team B, you don't know each other. And the whole idea was we were supposed to interact and eventually come together as a group to go do some mission fighting against the Eastern European bloc after World War III, which would have been fine. Except we're all a bunch of mercenaries who didn't know each other, let alone speak the language.
And some were Europeans. One person to get irritated, and the guns get drawn.
He thought a bar fight would break out. Instead, a gunfight broke out in the middle of a mercenary bar, and then grenades started getting thrown, and... yeah, not the best. That's why I'm saying, instead of that... sure, the store's probably going to say, hey, just come in and we're going to have a, anybody can join in sort of session for D&D 5th edition, let's say. Or whatever game they're trying to push that week. That's great. And later on, you may want to do that. But see how a functioning, long-lasting group, one that meets every week or every couple weeks, see how they work before you go and jump into some random group. That'd be like trying to jump into, you know, learn what PvP is like by jumping into some random battleground in World of Warcraft and thinking that is what PvP really is. It isn't. That's a bunch of morons. You might luck out and get a good group. You might. More often than not, it's gonna be hell. So yeah, probably better to see what a functioning group looks like before you jump in with the randoms.
Well, and again, don't get discouraged.
Sure.
Because, yeah, you may sit and observe, and you may discover how a good group interacts. And you might want that. Generally, you're not going to get that right away.
No.
It takes a long time to develop that kind of a group. You're going to have people who get butthurt and walk. Guess what? You don't need them.
Nope.
If they walk, sayonara.
You're going to get people that, if you're female, or if you are LGBTQIA, whatever, if you're a quilt bag, if you're even sometimes it's a racial thing. Sometimes you're going to come into a group and somebody's going to say stupid shit. Somebody's going to go, hey, we're playing a fantasy game, so I should be able to take your character because you're playing a female and I'm going to have, you know, force her to do whatever. That's not cool. That is never, ever cool. Period.
No ever. Game master should let that kind of shit happen.
And any that do, walk away from and don't feel bad about it. Period.
If you're being disrespected at all, walk. You should never have to put up with that kind of crap ever.
The main thing to remember is that it's a game. And it's a game that everybody is supposed to enjoy, from the game master to the newest player. Everybody is supposed to go into it having fun and enjoying themselves. And if you're being turned into a chew toy, which is the way I describe it, if you're a chew toy for other players or the game master, if they're having their fun at your expense, no matter how minor, say something once, if it's, you know, considered relatively minor. Otherwise, get up, walk out, never go back. Period. And if it's at a game store, and the game store is allowing that, find a new game store. I know that sucks for people in smaller towns where maybe there's only one game store within any reasonable distance. Well, then you might have to buy your stuff off the internet and teach your friends to play. People you respect. People that you know aren't going to be a problem.
People who respect you.
Hell, teach your family to play. A lot of people ignore that. It used to be just you and me and my friend Carrie when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
But then we moved to a different town. We didn't have Carrie around anymore. So we just played, the two of us, until Mom said, hey, your dad's home, because he was only home on weekends then. He wants to see you. Whatever you're doing, you can do it out here. Great, we have permission to use the freaking kitchen table now. And so we played at the table. And by the end of the weekend, we had Dad, Aunt Deb, Uncle Gene, and our sister Patsy.
Yeah.
We're all playing.
And then Mom joined.
Within a couple weekends, Mom had joined. Patsy's husband had joined. Devin Jean's son had joined. He was 4 years old, and we were starting to teach him how to play Dungeons & Dragons First Edition. AD&D, I'm sorry, First Edition. And it went really well. Sure, there were ups and downs.
Oh, well, yeah. There always is.
For the next 3 years, we had a stable and really awesome gaming group.
And some epic storylines came from that.
Very epic. Especially considering it wasn't the greatest system in the world. But
we worked around that and had fun.
Exactly.
Everybody had fun.
Yeah. That finally broke up when I ended up graduating high school and moving to a different place. But for the time we had, it was great, and we walked out of that with a lot of people that were very, about half of them went on to continue to roleplay.
Mm-hmm.
So, hell, as far as I know, our cousin's teaching his kids.
Yeah, Jay's with our new group, and yeah. Alora's playing as well.
Yeah. So really, you know, if you may not have many friends that role play, you have family. And yeah, sure, they may not be really into the idea, but it never hurts to ask. Even if they're just, you know, doing it to, you know, for a short time, it's something.
Mm-hmm. And one thing you shouldn't let affect you. A lot of people see getting into this hobby, let's just put it that way, as an expensive endeavor. With the advent of PDF files, you don't have to spend a huge amount for the books.
Nope.
When you can have your PDF form.
Yeah.
Jay, different Jay, who was in one of our groups, he had his smartphone preloaded with all the PDFs of all the Pathfinder books so that he could, in a moment's notice, go to whatever page he needed to.
Yep.
To check out what this ability did or what this item was for.
When we first got into Pathfinder, I was bringing them all on my tablet.
Yeah.
And
it doesn't cost a huge amount. The PDF forms are dirt cheap compared to the books.
Some you can get for free.
They not actually all. Offer a lot of them for free now.
Now, you can Google easily and find, you know, digital role-playing games. But just go to DriveThruRPG. Just Google DriveThruRPG. And that is like the premier seller for both. You can buy regular hardback or, you know, physical books. But their primary thing is selling digital. And good deals all around it.
They have sales all the time.
Yeah. They're great. They also have a variety of other businesses. But DriveThruRPG is, I think, their main focus. And yeah, you can't beat it. Now, sure, you could print out those PDFs too if you have a good printer, and then you have, you know, kind of a almost physical book. I wouldn't. It's more of a pain. I tried doing that with some of the Pathfinder books. And
you mean like Bestiary 1?
Yeah. That I have a laser printer. It just does black and white, but it's fine. Oh, man, that eats through the toner. And no, I would not do that at work. That's cause to get fired. Yeah. Oh, I only printed out a 300-page book. Sure. Yeah. I'm not sure the boss would go for that.
I'm pretty sure he wouldn't.
Nah, really wouldn't. But that's okay. I'm not stupid. But what about game mastering?
Game mastering is a completely different scenario altogether.
Oh, sure.
Because you're taking on a very important role. And for some, they were born to it.
Yeah.
For others, it's a struggle. Again, don't let it get you down if your first game sucks. Or if you have this well-crafted dungeon with all these intricate traps and all these wonderful encounters, you are so thrilled for this. And then your players come along and absolutely fuck it up. They do nothing that you planned. They just screw it right into the ground. And you're left going, But all this hard work, and for nothing.
There's never been a game scenario that hasn't been completely and utterly just ruined by players. I mean, it happens to everybody.
Don't get discouraged. Salvage the ideas that got overlooked or that got, you know, because they caved the dungeon in and picked through and got the loot out of it. Reuse the ideas. Recycle them. No one's going to know. But again, it's not always the players that ruin the effect. Quite often, it's the game masters themselves.
Yeah.
We've had plenty of game masters who sucked so hard, nobody's ever going to play their games again. At least, we won't.
You can't force players to do what you want them to do.
You have to give them options. You have to, through the way you tell your story, lead them in the direction that you want them to go. And if they don't go that way, just work with it.
Yeah.
Just start improvising. That's a big word that you're going to have to get used to. You're going to have to learn to do it. Because a good portion of being a dungeon master or a game master is improvising on the fly, because you cannot fathom the depths of creativity and or stupidity that your players will do that completely throw the game off track. And you can either force them to get back on track, which most players don't like, or you can just smile and run with it. Because a lot of times, the best experiences that you can have, the ones that everybody's going to remember, are the ones where you just had to run with it and make it up as you go along.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a werewolf adventure. I thought it was a well-crafted scenario where the team had to fight their way through this insane asylum that was held by Fomori, which are these undead horrors.
Yeah.
And vampires. And they were basically siphoning off the insane patients to feed themselves. And so they had to basically clear the insane asylum out of the horrors. So instead of going through this well-crafted insane asylum, they just went into the Umbra, which is basically like going into the astral plane. They went intangible and came out near the upper level where the boss was at and popped out of it. And in the process, killed a poor, innocent security guard who just happened to be walking by when this werewolf paw appears out of nowhere in front of him. He has a heart attack on the spot and dies. And this threw the party into chaos because, well, now the alarm went off and they had to fight because they weren't prepared for this, but instead of clearing everything out on their way up, now they've got everything rushing up to them. So it made for an interesting adventure. But things like that happen.
Yeah.
And you have to just roll with it.
Now, for me, I think too many, especially young game masters, forget something. Now, I said before that the game is supposed to be fun for everyone involved, from the game master all the way through all the players, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, a lot of game masters look at it as, well, it's fun for me if they run the adventure the way I want them to run it, or they have a bit of a cruel streak, and so they're going to punish the players in some way. And here's the thing. It's not... The Game Master has a different role. The Game Master is responsible for the fun of everyone. But their primary responsibility is to make sure everyone else has fun. Sure, maybe your well-crafted scenario didn't quite work out as planned, or didn't even come close to working out as planned. You want them to go up the hill to the mysterious castle, they decide, nah, they're going to go hang out in the bar for the whole evening. Okay, do something that makes the bar fun. And whatever. That's fine. That's great. Don't force them up the hill to the mysterious castle, because they're going to immediately go, you know what? This sucks. You know, that's not what we wanted to do, and you took our will away from us, and suddenly you're a bad game master. Sure, maybe this wasn't what you wanted to have happen, but tough luck. It's the way it is. Your job is to make sure everybody else has fun. Period. So, suck it up. And, like Beola said, take that Mysterio's castle and hold on to it for next time, because if you let them have a great time in that bar for this session, the next session they're going to remember, we had so much fun just doing something we wanted to do. Think of how much fun it's going to be to actually go up to that castle. You win respect from your players and trust from your players. If the players don't trust their game master, it's never going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for a long-lasting session.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, of course, there's all the little things like, you know, you got to make sure everybody's having fun. Not just your friends. Not just the people that are closest to you. Not just your girlfriend or boyfriend that you're running the game for. Don't cheat for them or whatever. Make sure everybody is having fun. Even the guy you don't know. Even that person that's brand new. If they're not having fun, and let's say they're having the worst rolls ever. Period. It's just nothing's working out for them. And they're just getting beat down and tired and depressed and discouraged. Do something for them. Do something that makes it better for them. And other players may go, you know, that was a little unfair. But at the same time, if you do it right, everybody enjoys the experience. Because if that person's having a good time, other people will have a good time. And you just got to focus on that.
Now, that being said, though, the game master still needs to be enjoying themselves. Otherwise, they're not going to keep doing it.
Sure. And
part of the reason for this podcast about this is we want more game masters. Because right now, putting this in WoW terms, game masters are the healers and the tanks. They're critical to the success of the raid. Everybody else is DPS. And if you don't have good heals and tanks, it's gonna suck.
Yeah.
And you don't get good heals and tanks unless the tanks and the healers get a chance to get good. So we want game masters out there. We want them to have fun. We want them to keep game mastering.
Sure.
We want them to get better so that we have a whole new generation of good game masters making the hobby better.
And, you know, I'm not trying to say that, you know, sure, I was saying that the game master is responsible for everyone else to have fun. Even if that means that they're, you know, not having as much fun. I mean that more in that they can't focus so much on what they're doing that they get discouraged by, oh, you know, the players, they ignored my great special thingy, so, oh, I didn't have this much fun. You know what? We both been game mastering for a very long time. For me, I don't know about you, but for me, the most fun I can have is when at the end of the game and I ask everyone, how was it? And they're like, oh, that was a great game. I can't wait till we play next time. That's where I have my fun, is when everybody else is having a good time. I feel good because I'm providing a story that everyone's getting into and everybody's having a great time, because that just, I feed off that. That is just so much fun for me.
Where I get the most fun is when I get to watch the players think. You know, you give them something that in your mind is a cursed item. You know, it's her whip of petrification. Basically, mm-hmm. I made this enchanted whip that if you lashed it out and struck an enemy, they had to save versus petrification.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is, The only thing that protects you from the whip is the enchanted glove that comes with it. It allows you to hold the whip and get, you know, and to use it. It also had a bag that you could put it in so that you, you know, could carry it if you weren't using it.
Right.
And so she gets this whip and she tries a couple, you know, swings with and figures out this is way too dangerous to be just flailing around in a party full of players. So she just coiled the whole thing up and used it as a fist weapon. The only time she uncoiled it was when they had encountered this false floor. And they knocked, you know, they caused the floor to collapse, and it led down to this pit full of ghouls.
Yeah, I remember that.
So instead of going down and fighting the ghouls, she just uncoiled it and just started going dink, 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 and just swinging it around and touching the ghouls and petrifying the lot of them.
Yes.
Completely screwed up a really well-crafted trap. But I couldn't punish her for it because that was brilliant.
Yeah.
She saved the entire party from a group of nasties. Yes, I did inconvenience her because one of the ghouls, when it got paralyzed, had grabbed a hold of the whip. So she had to break the whip free.
Oh, noes.
Yes, but it was still. What more can you do in that situation?
Still.
But I love the way players think because I remember one where we had a player who heard this odd noise early in the game and got paranoid about it. And so instead of, you know, letting the player know that it was nothing more than just a rock that had come loose and rolled down the cave, I went with it. I fed his paranoia through the entire adventure. So by the time they get to the big fight, he was already wound up beyond belief as to what he thought was this big, horrible creature that's going to come up out of the ground and kill them all. He spent the majority of the big fight watching the ground, because he knew something was going to come up and kill them all. He almost missed the entire fight just because he was so paranoid about it. I enjoyed the hell out of that because it played with his mind the entire game. It was great. So, being a DM, you have a lot of responsibilities. Don't abuse your power.
Obviously.
Please. Don't abuse your players. And don't be a dick.
Yeah.
Because that is one of the easiest ways to lose a group is to just be a petty douchebag.
Right. You're going to have arguments over, you know, people wanting to argue over rules. Make a decision, stick with it, move on. That's the best way to go.
They may be mad because they came out on the wrong end of the decision. But in the long run, they're going to forget it.
Sure.
And move on. If they don't, then they're going to move on.
And you don't need them.
Whoopee!
Yeah.
So, do your best to earn respect, but don't put up with disrespect from everyone else. You need to be respected just as much.
Yeah. Anyway, that's probably good. We're a little over time. So, anything else?
Don't be a dick.
Yeah, I think that's the best thing to stress. Both for players and for GMs, really. Try and work with everybody if you can.
Well, if you're a dick player, you're not going to have a group for long.
No.
They'll dump your ass fast.
Yeah. And always
deserve it.
Chip in on the pizza, damn it. Don't take the last piece.
Oh, here's a good tip for new players. Bring the game master a treat, a snack.
Find out always, what they like.
Always bribe the DM.
And it's don't expect them to, you know, oh, okay, you bribed them, so they're going to help you out. No. But it doesn't hurt to bring them their favorite snack either. Because...
candy corn.
It... God! Yes, I like candy corn. But when I'm running the Halloween episode, and I've got 5 bags of candy corn in front of me, I can't eat that much candy corn.
It lasts forever.
No, it doesn't. It gets real stale and hard. Ugh. And if I'm trying to eat it in January, it's like, it's not the same, bro. Mix it up. Get the little pumpkins, too. Jeez. Anyway, till next time, I'm Squirmus.
And a Baeolus.
Generic catchphrase ending.
Thanks for listening to the Pixels and Dice podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please check out our other content at gamingstuff.website. We have articles, videos, and lots more to enjoy there. So until next time, generic catchphrase ending.